I don't feel comfortable going on the ground yet. But anyway, who loves dogs? Like, raise your hand. Do y'all love dogs? Okay, good. Good. Anyway, I love dogs. My family has two dogs, and they love us like crazy. And if you know anything about dogs, they have a crazy, unconditional amount of love for you know, its owners and all that. When we get home, wherever it's from, it could be 5 minutes or a whole week, our dogs will rush to us and see us and go crazy. Their tails start wagging. They start trying to lick us, jump on us. Like, just anything a happy dog does. And even through, like the whole day, like, all our dogs want is our attention and our love. I'll just be chilling on the couch or whatever, and our older dog will just come up to me and, like, put her paw on me like that or whatever so I can pet her. And, like, you know, it gets annoying, but, like, I still pet her. I still love on her, even though she still, like, drives me crazy. And not only that, but, like, dogs, if you do them any wrong, like, if you step on their tail or whatever, like, you might feel bad, but they don't see you any different. They don't see you, like, as a worse human being or anything like that. For example, like, it's going to make Anna sad, but last month, like, they were all gone. I was the only one in the house, and I let her dog out. And she loves to be outside, and it's been, like, 30 minutes. So I'm like, all right, I might as well go check up on her or anything like that. So I go open the door, and my dog, her dog is, like, right there with her head down with, like, a Quaker Oats box stuck around her head. And I'm like, I felt really bad because it's probably been, like, 5 or 10 minutes. Like, she had this thing on her head, and I felt terrible. So I close the door, I take it off her, and I throw it back out. I felt terrible and all that, but instead of her getting mad at me, she just started wagging her tail when I got it off. Like, she started loving on me and, like, just didn't even remember it happened. So I've mentioned that they have unconditional love. All they want is your love. I didn't mention this, but they are incredibly loyal. I think we all know that, though. And they are quick to forget anything you've done wrong. And I bring all that up because all those qualities remind me of who God is. You know, I know I'm not alone in this, but there's thoughts that pop into my head every now and then. You know, thoughts of how bad I am, thoughts of how undeserving and how unworthy of God's love I am. And even now and then, the thought comes to my head that I've disappointed God too many times and that he just doesn't love me. He's angry at me. But I know every single one of those did not come from God, and I know there's just a straight-up lie. In 1 John 4, it says God is love twice in that same passage. And, like, what that means is that he didn't just, like, choose to love y'all. He didn't just choose to love us. Like, he does love us in every single situation. He can't, you know, that's natural who he is. And the two words unfailing love appear in the Bible 39 times. So that just goes to show how much he loves us. And in Psalms 139, 17 to 18, it says, how precious are your thoughts about me, O God? They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. And then finally, in Hebrews 13:8, it says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so I just want to say this. I think there are people here today who feel like failures, who feel like, you know, they are terrible people. You know, I think there's people here who think they are so undeserving of God's love. And I think there's people in here today who straight up hate themselves. But I want to tell you that those beautiful, lovely, precious thoughts that God has for every single one of you do not go away. You know, he's saying to you, I'm tired of you sitting there and hating yourself. You know, I'm tired of you hating who you are. I have this unbelievable love that I have for every single one of you. So you specifically, and I want to share that love with you. And you might feel like you've done God wrong too many times. You say, I'm undeserving. But God says, I'm reaching my hand out, and I'm willing to give you my love that I have for you. And you just got to accept it and reach your hand back out to me. You got to accept the love that I have. He doesn't want you to hate yourself anymore. He doesn't want you to feel all these terrible thoughts you have about yourself. You know, he has an unbelievable amount of love for each and single one of you that none of us can comprehend. And these thoughts that he has for us do not go away, and they never have. And so, I just want to leave you all with this. If you have a dog, or if you see any dog in general, if you don't have one, and they see how much they love you, you see how excited they get to see you, think about that's God every time he thinks about you. You know, God, especially when you spend time with him, God gets even more excited. You know, dogs cannot contain the love they have for us, and neither can God. And that's just what I want to leave with today. Thank you all.
Thank you, Caleb. Good job. Your timing was good on that one, too. So I guess it's in the running for fine arts. So Caleb kind of shared with me the other night. I already knew what direction I was going, who I was going to be talking about. But I was like, that's going to go really good with what I got to talk to, what I'm going to talk to you guys tonight about. And then Brother Doc, hold on just a second. So Brother Dorsey talked the other night, and he talked about presence. And it really got me thinking. I already knew I was going to talk about Moses. But, you know, there's a lot of different stories in Scripture about Moses. Like a lot of different directions that we could go. But I thought about like how being in God's presence, we carry that with us, right? We carry things with us sometimes without even realizing it. And you know how Caleb talked about, you know, we feel unloved, undeserving. Think about Moses, things that he did before God actually spoke to him and was like, hey, bro, you're going to do all this for me. You're going to deliver the Israelites out of Egypt. You're going to take them into the promised land. You're going to do all these things. Do you know what he did before that? I know all the adults back there know. Okay, well, we'll get there. All right, so in Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, it says, one day Moses was tending the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led the flock far into the wilderness and came to Sinai, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the middle of a bush. Moses stared in amazement. Though the bush was engulfed in flames, it didn't burn up. This is amazing, Moses said to himself. Why isn't that bush burning up? I must go see it. So Moses, okay, God called a runaway murderer who had been hiding out because he was scared. That's who Moses was. But see, God had been with Moses since he was in his mother's womb. If you know the whole story, God protected him from death at birth. Okay, the king knew a deliverer was coming. So the midwives, the ladies delivering the babies were actually supposed to like kill all the Israelite babies. But they would say, well, what happens is they're so quick and they know what they're doing. They done had the baby before we get there. And you know, I never really could understand how you hid a baby for as long as they did Moses. Like, I, you know, have had a lot of babies. And they are not quiet. Like, somebody's going to know, right? But they hid Moses for as long as they possibly could. So God protected him from death at birth. He protected him for the amount of months that he was at home with his mother until it was not possible anymore. And then the perfect place for the deliverer of the Israelites, he went and lived with Pharaoh in, like, that's crazy. Pharaoh provided for the one that he was trying to avoid. And Pharaoh ended up, he's living in Pharaoh's house. He grows up learning the Egyptian ways and their customs. He has to have some sort of relationship with Pharaoh. The ironic thing is this, Moses was the very reason Pharaoh had went after the Israelites' babies, but he ended up in his house. Like, that's just crazy. And then you get to this point in Moses' life. Why did God do what he did? Like, why do you think about that for a second? A burning bush that's not, like, actually burning up, but just burning. Do you think that Moses had ADHD? Maybe? Jacob, come here. So I'm going to illustrate something for you real quick.
But Pastor Joe wants me to know something, and he wants me to remember.
Because sometimes, I am not kidding y'all. Y'all think it's funny. I am not lying. It's bad, okay? And some days, that's how he has to tell me things. Do you think that's what God was doing with Moses? He was like, look here, dude. I need you to hear me right now. I need you to understand what I'm about to tell you, who you are, and what you're going to do for me. He had to get his attention. That's what God was doing. He wanted to make sure that Moses heard him. He wanted to make sure Moses knew him, and he showed Moses what he was capable of. Now, moving on in verses 4 through 6, it says, when the Lord saw Moses coming to take a closer look, God called to him from the middle of the bush, Moses, Moses, here I am, Moses replied. Do not come any closer, the Lord warned. Take off your sandals, for you are standing on holy ground. I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. When Moses heard this, he covered his face because he was afraid to look at God. The first thing that God revealed to Moses was his holiness. See, God often reveals his plan and himself to people in different ways, maybe through a process or through stages over time. Can you imagine if Moses hadn't heard from God until this point? Not that we know, not like this for sure. For this to be the first encounter that he has with God. Now, all of our experiences are going to be different. We will feel his presence around us in different ways. And he will use each of us to do different things. But I find Moses' next question very ironic because it's a question we often ask God. We say, how can I? But the fact is, it's not you. It's not us. It's God through us. We are simply the speaker in which he uses, right? These great ideas that you have or these things that you feel like you need to go and tell another person, that's not you. That's God through you. In verse 11, it says, but Moses protested to God, who am I to appear before Pharaoh? Who am I to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt? Moses, you're the perfect one. You grew up in that house. You know how to speak to them. He was the one God had his hands on his entire life. He was in God's presence, whether he realized it or not. He asked the question, why me? Who am I? Moses is the perfect one for the job. He knows the people. He knows their ways. God uses Moses to deliver the Israelites. Moses led them toward the promised land and continued to be in God's presence. And later on, Moses had the opportunity to see God. In Exodus 33, verse 17 through 23, it says, the Lord replied to Moses, I will indeed do what you have asked, for I look favorably on you, and I know you by name. Moses responded, then show me your glorious presence. The Lord replied, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will call out my name, Yahweh, before you. For I will show mercy to anyone I choose, and I will show compassion to anyone I choose. But you may not look directly at my face, for no one may see me and live. The Lord continued, look, stand near me on this rock. As my glorious presence passes by, I will hide you in the crevice of the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will remove my hand and let you see me from behind, but my face will not be seen. Moses was not just figuratively in God's presence. He was literally in God's presence. This was significant. Most other instances that Scripture says people saw God, it was not his true form. It was a human likeness or an angel sent by God, a representative of God. But he was allowed to see, and he wasn't allowed to see his face. But, like, can you imagine, you know, there are people that just because they were in God's presence, just in the presence, not that they saw him, that their face shone so brightly that their face had to be covered up. Like, can you imagine what the emotions that Moses is feeling? Like, I may not get to see his face and what that looks like, but even just the back of his head, like, that's pretty cool, right? Maybe it was bald and shiny like Zach's. I don't know. Maybe it was long, luscious hair. I love you, Zach. But that's pretty cool, right? In 34 and 5 through 8 of Exodus, it says, "Then the Lord came down in a cloud and stood there with him, and he called out his own name, Yahweh. The Lord passed in front of Moses, calling out, Yahweh the Lord, the God of compassion and mercy. I am slow to anger and filled with unfailing love and faithfulness. I lavish unfailing love to 1,000 generations. I forgive iniquity, rebellion, and sin, but I do not excuse the guilty. I lay the sins of the parents upon their children and grandchildren. The entire family is affected, even children in the third and fourth generations." And Moses immediately threw himself to the ground and worshiped. Have you ever felt God's presence in a place or a situation? How many of you students would say on the campgrounds you felt God's presence in that place? Yeah. For me in my life, that is one of only a handful of places that I truly have just felt the presence heavy. And it's had, you know, those moments have had such an impact on my life. Can you imagine what it would be like to sit or stand beside God? Like, what would that feel like? Like, I just imagine, you know, a joy would come over me, that there would be a warmth, but not too hot to make me, like, sweat, but it would be, like, the perfect temperature and just, like, good smells, not like what I'm getting right now, and, you know, just, like, clean air and just, like, safe. And have any of you ever felt something like that? No? What do you have to do to feel the presence of God? Thoughts? Caleb? Yeah, like sometimes it just comes on you. You know, there have been moments in my life where, like, I can hear something. I wasn't even praying or worshiping or whatever. That it's just like an overwhelming emotion that comes across me, and like, then it's like, wait, whoa, what was that? Why am I about to bawl my eyes out right now? Like, that's what always happens to me. I cry. I'm a crier. But in order to get to that place where we can feel God's presence, we need to be spending time in the Word. We need to be spending time talking to God. You know, think about, like, your friendships and people you hang around, like, those are things that you would do with that person, right? And their presence means a lot. Well, when we show God, here am I, Lord, I'm here to spend time with you. I'm taking time out of whatever else I could have been doing. Instead of playing games on my phone or video games or FaceTiming or Snapchatting, TikToking, Instagramming, all the things. God, I'm here and I'm taking time out for you. It takes practice. And those are some things that we can practice to be in God's presence. Because what his presence brings repentance. Because if he's got that relationship, he can say, hey, Nikki, this is what you've been doing, girl. I've been seeing you. We need to work on this. We got some things we need to work on, some things we need to eliminate out of life. Because when he has us, he has our attention, he can do those things. If we're not giving him the time to have our attention, then how is he going to let us know? How far are we going to let our life get down the drain before we finally wake up and say, oh, what's missing is God. What's missing is that I'm neglecting my relationship with him. All these things and situations going on in my life, while some could be my consequences and some are not, when we've been spending time in the presence of God, whether it is out of our control or not, those things that are out of our control, we can handle it way differently when we've been in the presence of God. Because he gives you peace and joy in those situations that normal people don't have peace and joy about. He gives us the strength to handle. He gives us comfort in the midst of the chaos. And also, spending time with him also brings a desire to worship him. A desire to honor him. Think about some ways that you could take over the next week to honor God, to bring honor to God. His presence brings thankfulness, joy, peace, and understanding. So many things all at once that we tend to be overwhelmed by it. How many of you guys were here, I think it was Sunday night. We had like 22 students. That was awesome. So there was a lady and she like fell on the floor over here. Yeah. Yeah. Y'all saw that? Okay. So simplest explanation I can give you. You ready? Remember this. Because when I heard it, I was like, why has nobody ever explained it that way? So in the church world, we call it falling out in the spirit. But essentially, when that happens, God's presence is so heavy, you just can't simply stand any longer. It's pretty easy. Easy explanation. You just literally can't anymore, because God is just pouring so much. You are so overwhelmed by his presence that you just can't. Would you ever want to feel so much of God that you had to sit down? Or that you just went, floop, we caught her, don't worry, she didn't just fall. Listen, I've seen some people fall. I've seen some people with, like, cuts on their foreheads because there wasn't nobody there to catch them, okay? But do we have a desire for God's presence in our lives? Do you have that? Do you want that? You want to be in church? To learn, to worship, to pray? Some of you are shaking your head, yeah? Okay. Show me. Do you want to stand and worship the Lord? Do you want to stand and come before God and say, Lord, this is me, here I am. If it's my job to do what Moses did, fine. If it's my job to do what Gideon did, fine. I'm here. If it's just my job to walk across the room and share Jesus with somebody, fine, I'm here. So what do you say tonight? Do you want to be in the presence of the Lord? Are you here for it? Okay. Show me. Come seek after God. Come pray. If you're in here tonight and you have a need, somebody that's standing around you, if you would, you know, trust them to pray with you, share. And let's pray for one another tonight. Share your needs with each other. Pray with each other, okay? I don't have to be the one to pray for you. These other adults don't have to be the one to pray for you. If my 6-year-old can come up with a 2-minute prayer to pray for me at night, you can pray for each other. Father, I thank you for each one of these students and these adults tonight. God, I pray that you would touch their hearts tonight, Lord, that you would reveal yourself to them. God, that they would feel what it feels like to be in your presence. God, that they would see you on a daily basis. God, they would be able to see you in people, see you in things. God, to see you working, to see you moving and doing things in their lives and doing things in the lives of the people around them. God, I pray that they would have the desire. God, that they would seek to see who you are, to be in your presence, Father God.